Let's talk about me, baby. Let's talk about you, baby. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that can be.
The moon is high in the sky, and the clouds give way to the screeching of bats. The baying of wolves in the distance can only mean the time is right. Cross the threshold of the Haunted Convention Center into the Scarab Gaming Tomb of Horror. Scarab is the South Carolina area role-playing and board gaming convention held annually in Columbia, South Carolina on MLK weekend. The Scarab Swarm can be found running games and events throughout the year. Views expressed on this show don't necessarily reflect anything, much like a vampire. It can be found on page 1D100 of your local Necronomicon. And now, here's your host, straight from Lord Wellington's beef trapeze by way of Transylvania, Count John Madman Manus.
Ooh, hello, my spooky little podcast listening friends, and welcome to another spooky episode of the Scarab Gaming Tomb of Horror. Ooh, spooky scary. I am Count.
You kids there, you turn off that old podcast thing. I know what you're doing. That's from last year. You don't want to be listening to that. Oh, in my day, we never listened to things that were old. You shut up and you listen to me. I'm much older than you. That's what you get. No more of that if you don't behave. Now, gather round the fire, children. We're camping, see? We're camping. Why, I oughta... Oh, all right. Well, since we're round the campfire, how about we tell some scary stories, shall we? All right, I'll start off with one. See, it all started in a camp, just like this. A night, just like this, with a campfire, just like this. Well, maybe not quite like this. It was a little bit smaller, and the flames were kind of a greenish sort of color, because of somebody pouring some sort of chili on there or something, but that's not the point of the story. And there was this man, this old man, see? He came to the camp, this very camp, this, well, or one that was much like this one, see? And he was old. He was very old. I'm getting to the point of the story. If you just shut up for 5 seconds, you young whippersnapper. In my day, we were glad to be given all the whippersnapper comments we could take. And we ate them with pride. It was the only way we sustained ourselves, I tell you. Now get off my lawn. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Had a little bit of a forward flash or something like that. We're talking about scary stories in front of this campfire. So there was this old man, and he came to this camp on a night just like tonight. The moon was up shining just like it is right now. Some say that if you listen very carefully, you can still hear something to this day. Shut up again, you old young whippersnapper. No, I take that back. You don't deserve that whippersnapper, you young un. Fine, if it's a scary story you want. I've got the most scariest story of them all. See, this is a story about a kobold who was sent to a place upside down to do a podcast interview with a very unusual guest. Shut up and listen to my story!
Hello, gang! Toast coming to you from the upside down. I've got a special guest with me today, Demogorgon.
Please, just call me Giorgio.
Well, Giorgio, it's a pleasure having you on the Swarmcast as a guest.
Sure, anytime. You know, I just love people. Talking to people, that is. Say, you don't look like a human.
Well, you don't exactly look like a... no, I'm a kobold.
Huh, What exactly is a...
So, you've been having a pretty good year, huh? You got a show on Netflix that's doing pretty good?
Oh, it's been great. You know, we don't really get Netflix up here. But I've been down to your place enough to binge. Binge watch it, that is.
I see. Why did you say up here?
Well, from my perspective, my world is up, and yours is down. Since the show blew up like it did, we've had to rename the whole place, change all of our signs, the works. City Council's having one heck of a time with that.
I'll bet. Giorgio, a lot of fans out there want to know if you'll be in the second season.
There's going to be a second season? I'm kidding. Well, I've been asked not to reveal any of that to anyone yet.
Can't even give us a little hint? An exclusive, perhaps?
Well, alright, you got me. Let's just say you can't keep a good Demogorgon down, eh? Get it?
Yeah, it's very funny.
This show, you funny
stupid flowerhead.
Well, what the heck is that?
We are Demogorgon, the fringe echo-headed Denari Prince.
I am you.
And I am Hephraia. Together we are Demogorgon.
Wow, nice to meet you on Earth. I haven't seen you guys around since the Book of Vile.
Yes, yes, yes.
We know that book.
We've seen how this Gorgo or Giorgio or Bob has represented us in this show of his.
And we are vilely enraged by this.
You guys got Netflix down there in, what, Tenari Land?
Ha! Of course we do!
Who do you think came up with it?
You guys created Netflix?
What?
Well, maybe not us, per se.
It was Royce. He got promoted.
I'm not familiar with him.
Oh, he's a great fellow.
Really knows his stuff, that one.
You should see what he's got planned for the children's programming.
He's great with kids. Such a carer, that one.
But enough of that.
Yeah.
We have bone to pick with you. Giorgio.
Guys, look. You may have been big back in, what, early 2K? But in the 2K10s, it's all about the internet, memes, and t-shirt sales. I mean, the people have spoken. And the whole two-headed tentacle thing? Just not happening.
Why you, upstart?
Poopyhead?
We shall unleash our full wrath upon you, and...
Hey, can you, like, keep it down?
Yeah, man. We're trying to sleep down here.
And?
Who are you?
Hey, I'm like Original Recipe Demogorgon.
Check it. Two mantle heads.
We're all over this 5th edition thing.
We gotta prep for some modules and stuff.
We've been on tour hardcore for a couple years now. Our agent says it's a great comeback tour for us.
Everyone loves Original D.
Yeah, bro.
But we're the most nightmarish depiction of...
Whoa.
You guys were just some artist's misinterpretation of a poorly written memo, man.
Yeah, you should have been fact-checked out of 3.5.
Look at the minis, guys. Mandrel heads.
They are right, you know.
And you?
Crazy Gug Reject?
You're, like, one to talk.
You only got that name because of those kids.
And they were using it, like, metaphorically.
Because they didn't know what to call you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need to take this. I got an agent. A hit show on Netflix.
Whatever.
And hands.
Bro.
Don't play the hands card.
Tote's not cool at all.
I do not need it. I'm gonna talk to my agent.
Well, I'm bored here, so I guess I'm coming back up. There's nothing to eat here anyway. I mean, how does this one thing live here when the only way to get food is to go next dimension over and only if somebody opens the door for you? And why are folks so obsessed with this Barb character? Good thing I took that plot hole to get here. I'll see you guys when I get back. Toast signing off.
Bzzz. Hard
wasn't scary, was it? Wasn't scary enough for you, was it? Well, maybe I've got another story. One that'll scare the socks right onto your feet and then back off of your feet and fold it up and put into your sock drawer right where it belongs. Now, wouldn't that be a scary thing then? I think it would indeed. So what could be scarier? Whoa, scarier than a kobold talking to some strange creatures in some place that doesn't exist except on some sort of Netflix thing or in the book of a Dungeons and Dragons game. Well, try this on for side. What could be scarier than some reviews of some board games that can be found in the Scarab Game Library? Nothing, I tells ya, nothing. Another Scarab Scamcast is proud to present Scarab Game Reviews! Reviews of games found on the Scarab Game Library.
Zombicide Black Plague by Cool Mini or Not and Guillotine Games. For 1 to 6 players, ages 14 and up, should take you about an hour.
Welcome to the dark times. In a mad quest of forbidden knowledge and ultimate power, the necromancers have unleashed the apocalypse upon the living. Zombies have destroyed the king's armies and now roam the land, spreading chaos and death. Is it the end? Are we cursed to die, huddled in our homes? It's a dark time, but not for those with a will. Draw your swords, span your crossbows, and ready your spells. For the few, the brave, it's time for Zombicide Black Plague. Form a fantasy team with your friends and harness your survivor skills to achieve victory against hordes of infected. The zombies are controlled by the game itself using simple rules and a deck of cards. Play 10 quests on 10 different maps made with the included modular map tiles, or create your own. Find weapons, kill zombies. The more zombies you kill, the more skilled you get, and the more zombies appear.
And when they say form your own fantasy team, they're not talking about, like, fantasy football team.
So, real quick note, Zombicide Black Plague is basically a medieval version of Zombicide and the other versions of the different eras that they have. I don't know how it compares to the regular game because I've never played the base game, the original.
Go straight for the sequels.
It sounds like it has a lot of very similar concepts. Based on the rule books, it looks like you can combine this stuff. So then,
yes, the rule books just say that you can combine it. We will, however, in another review, be playing and reviewing Zombicide.
Because why not? Because it's also in the Scarab Game Library.
Not right now.
We don't know. Yeah, we're gonna.
We have to go get it.
So, what's some good things we can say about Zombicide Black Plague?
The minis actually look pretty cool. Again, it's so far with every Cool Mini or Not game, it's had a good quality of miniatures, cards, the boards, the box itself. It's all been exceptional quality.
So let's talk about the player mat things, because I thought those were kind of cool.
Yes.
You actually got a little player tray. It's plastic. It's got little slidey things so you can keep track of your XP and little recessed areas where you can put in your cards and stuff.
And then it has little knobby things that you stick in pegs and holes to keep track of what skills you actually have.
Yeah, and your damage and all that stuff.
Right. It's so it kind of makes me think of Battleship in a weird way.
Yeah. It has two different size cards. Your character card is one size and then everything else is the second size.
Right.
So that's all the equipment and all the zombie cards.
Right. Another good thing is, again, kind of like one of the other games, I mentioned that it was a personal preference. I didn't like it. I put it in the bad category. This is in the good category. It's a personal preference, though. It's cooperative against the game. So you're not playing against each other.
Yep, you're all with trying to defeat / escape the zombies.
Right.
Yep.
I'd say another good thing is, especially for us who like to play fantasy games and stuff, it's got that heavy fantasy tilt.
It does.
And that could just be just the way it's a...
Even though it says it's supposed to be medieval, it obviously has an elf, it obviously has a dwarf-like character.
Right, and my guy was obviously casting spells.
Right.
And also a battle nun.
Yes, so...
Who could eventually cast spells?
Yep.
So she says. I don't know. I never saw it.
We didn't get that high level.
Yeah. We could have stalled and gotten higher level, but we played... Oh, that is one of the other things I like. It does say here that it's like a 60-minute game. However, in the rule book, that sets up the campaigns and the maps and stuff, it actually says each map is, it gives it a time frame. So we did the introductory one, which was supposed to be like a 45-minute game. And I noticed in there, there's at least one other that's a 150-minute game. So okay. A bigger board, more zombies. So the box says an hour, but the campaign and the board setups actually give you more accurate time frames as to which is gonna, how long it should take.
Right.
And speaking of the rule book, mm-hmm. when you read through it, there are these little sections that give you like a little bit of flavor, mm-hmm. and they're actually pretty good at getting across the characters that you're playing
and
as,
the context, and right.
the context, and some humor.
Yeah.
So.
But it's not overloaded with fluff. It's just enough. It's like two or three paragraphs here and there in each of the sections. And they delineate it very well because it's in a totally different script than the rules are.
Right.
So if you don't want to read the fluff, you don't got to read the fluff. They're very good in their rule book, giving explanations as far as, like, here's the picture of the card. They give full, like, pop-out bubble-type explanations of everything on the cards, and they give lots of pictures and lots of explanation.
And like with most Cool Mini or Not stuff, the rulebook, if you really wanted to, you could just, you can really operate off of the nice little
back summary sheet
mm-hmm. telling you how your play is supposed to work and all that stuff. So what's something bad that we could point out about Zombicide, Black Plague? By Cool Mini or Not.
I gotta say again, and I find this with all these sort of games, is yes, they say an hour or 45 minutes, but it always takes longer than that. Always. I don't think I've ever
And part of that is setup.
Part of it is setup, because I think when they say playtime, they actually mean after the game is set up. The first board was very easy to set up, but
it's three tiles.
Right. It was two tiles. Two.
The vault.
You don't really count the vault as a tile. But yeah. But no, I find that with a lot of games that have a lot of pieces and stuff, is it always takes longer because they never account for, oh, I picked up this game, I'm just starting. It's always experienced player time. It's not new player time. But that being said, the 45-minute one that we did actually took us about an hour and a half, and that was going over rules, setting up the board, and playing the game.
One of the bad things I found was with the like with other Cool Mini or Not games, they have these little colored things that you snap onto the base of your character.
Yeah.
And I found that if you're not careful with how you take them off of this one, I could have snapped the legs off of some of those hero miniatures that I was using. The
bad thing I like about the game is the boards themselves are very pretty. They have lots of color. There's lots of print on it, but that's also a detractant because the tiles are basically there's different tiles, but then you set the door tokens on it, and the door tokens get lost on the board because there's so much print, or the door tiles are the same color as the area that they're sitting on. So it gets a little hard to see the different things on it.
Yeah, and they threw us off with one of their terminologies. They used the linear...
the linear... I've been drinking wine.
The linear illustration or something like that.
Yeah, right. It's,
they basically mean the line on the tile.
Right. So instead of saying, you know, if there's lines and that separates the rooms, they call it a linear differential equation. Had to draw parabolas and stuff. It was really rough. Is there anything else bad we want to bring out about Zombicide, Black Plague, Cool Mini or Not, Keating Games?
The little slider for XP is really finicky. It sticks, and I kept feeling like I might break this really nice little plastic tray thing. Yeah.
They did give us extra slidey thingies if we wanted.
And they gave you extra
Which is not an excuse, but
no.
Yeah.
But I guess the more you play it, the more easier that it would be to
kind of break it in.
To break it.
Yeah. To break it in. Other.
What are we put in this other category for Zombicide, Black Plague? The fantasy thing was interesting.
Well, I do think it's interesting that they make note in the rule book in a special little box. They say if you have the future version or you have the... Because there's Rumorg and... something else. I don't remember what it listed, but it listed like Rune Wars,
like prisons or something.
Prison Break and Zombicide the base game. They're like, you can combine them all. However, Black Plague does have some specialized rules. So, and that's the other thing in the rule book. I don't know if you guys noticed is it, the game is for 1 to 6 players, but if you want to do 7+ players, you add in that extra stuff from those other games. You add in the trays. That's why, like I said, we hadn't played the base game or any of the others, so I think, I could totally be wrong, that they have the plastic trays in the base games too, in order to expand it out and play more than 6 players.
Yeah, so you can make this like Army of Darkness, zombie side.
So I think that's a really neat other.
Have a dude with a chainsaw show up.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Who knows?
Boomstick.
I don't know. But right, so it is available in the Scarab Game Library.
Yep.
So if you want to check it out, I do believe we have the base game as well. So I'll have to confirm that. I think we do.
So play both.
Again, at Zombicide, Black Plague, Cool Mania Now.
Guillotine Games.
Rawr, zombies.
Rawr.
The Village Crone by Fireside Games. 1 to 6 players. Ages 13 and up, playtime 90 minutes.
When the witches go riding, become a witch and enter the medieval world of Wickersby in this worker placement resource management game with spell casting. Make villagers fall in love, turn them into frogs, or teleport them to different locations. Use your familiars and resources strategically as you vie to be named the Village Crone. So like Ruby said, this was again by Fireside Game, and who did we have playing? It was myself, John, of course, Ruby.
Hello.
And?
Phil.
Hey, Phil.
So, gosh, that description pretty much tells you a lot there is to know about that game, unlike some descriptions for other games. So what's some good stuff we can say about the Village Crone?
I say it a lot, but the components were neat. You had a little screen that had a lot of the cheat sheets, the cheat information, and to cast a spell, you have to basically pay a resource, and then you have to say an incantation. And on the little cheat sheet, it gave you the incantation for each of the, like, 7 or 8 different spells, so you didn't have to memorize them. And if you got caught not saying the incantation, basically you lost your spell.
Yeah, I think it was well laid out. There's a good core component to it and a good initial thought process that went into this game. And the way it lays out the presentation and the way that you can randomly put out the pieces worked very well for this particular game.
The boards are 6 smaller pieces that you lay out randomly in a... What was it, a 3x2?
Yes.
And so every time you play, it's not, oh, well, here's the miller's house. It's always going to be in the lower left-hand corner. No, it can be anywhere. So it makes that part of the game more replayable and enjoyable, I think.
Okay. And I kind of like the incantation part. That added an interesting little fun element to the game. So I thought that was pretty good. You'd mentioned that before. I almost got caught the first time just because we had just started, but it didn't seem like any of us were going to
we're
getting into it too much.
Yeah, and of course we only played it one time, but given multiple sessions, you can make your own incantations, which would just add a whole new dynamic to the game. So,
right. Yeah, that's actually in the rule book. You can put your own spin on the incantation if you want. All right. So let's talk about some stuff that was kind of potentially bad about this game.
Well, I guess the first thing I'll say is whenever I think of the word crone, Terry Pratchett comes to mind, and he always talks about there's 3 witches in a coven. There's the maid, the mother, and the crone, right? And so I always think of Granny Weatherwax in his books whenever I think of that. And I think of, what did she do for the villagers? What did she do for the people who were under her care, if you will? And coming into the game, that kind of had set an expectation in my own mind. and it made it feel like whenever I was playing the game that there were only certain things that you could do. There was only so far you could go with influencing the people in your village, and there was an oversimplification there that was leaving something out. Like, the game itself isn't quite finished yet. It's got a good core basis, but there's got to be a little more something than just bringing these two people to the same square. Why did I do that?
Okay.
So
there really wasn't a lot of description. In this game, you are basically the crones that are all trying to vie up for the position in the village, since there can only be one crone, apparently. And you're kind of fighting against each other, you know. So you're doing your own thing, trying to meet these different conditions on the cards to get your point values in order to be the first crone to 13.
That's right, because we each had our own different schemes that were randomly determined.
And so you're trying to do things, like he said, you're trying to bring two people to one location, or you're trying to get X person to fall in love with Y person, or... Yeah. One of the really harder ones that I had was switch two people from place A and B, switch two familiars from blah, and then switch with something else. I had to do basically three switches.
Yeah, you had a lot of really, really
I had a lot of really things. Complicated ones, even on my beginning cards. So I didn't score for a very long time because there were so many very complicated ways, and you have to collect resources, you have to cast spells, you have to try and move people, and then you're also, because if you play with one, if you play with a bunch of people, everyone's doing this, so it takes a while to actually finish something. So that's kind of one of those, I guess I personally like shorter games, so people that like longer games, this one might not be so bad. But with all that's going on in it and everyone doing that same thing, I feel like it doesn't live up to its 90-minute playtime.
Okay.
Especially with the more people you get in it, because you have to really sit there and think about it. So you're sitting there even while you're waiting on someone else's turn thinking, oh, I can do this, I can do that. Well... person next to you has gone now, and that totally redid what you can do, so you re-strategize, and then, you know, depending on where you're sitting in the turn, people just have to sit there and think too much.
Because so much could happen.
Correct.
That might change what you were
Correct.
You thought you were planning on doing.
So I don't think the 90-minute playtime is necessarily an accurate gauge, in all honesty. Maybe for three people,
okay.
But anything over that, I think, would be a much longer game.
Okay. See, and a problem I had with the game was it seemed like there was so much stuff you could do on your turn, mm-hmm. and a lot of it dealt with this movement. You had six, basically, quote-unquote, points of movement. And so you could move something a couple and then do some stuff, maybe cast a couple spells.
And
you could break that up at any point, and it just seemed like something that kind of helped you keep track of that, so you didn't forget, wait, how many spaces did I move?
Right.
That might have been kind of nice.
All right.
Yeah, it seemed like the goal of reaching 13 points was very lofty with just three of us playing.
Yeah.
I could have easily seen our game stretching out for 3 hours.
Right. We did cut it short when we played this game, so we may not have gotten the full effect. But
I can also see that there is a lot
correct.
Of room for strategy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Underlying the basic components in this game.
Yes.
But also, I kind of feel like something that takes away from that is... everybody has the same set of
spells.
These are the spells that I can do, and
mm-hmm.
this is how they work.
Right.
It'd be kind of nice if maybe there were some cards or something that said, you have these specific spells that you can use only
right.
for right now.
Well, that kind of brings us into the other.
Okay.
On each of the little screens that you can put your stuff behind, I think the screens were more of a decorative... they could have just
right.
been a flat sheet on the thing. There was no real reason you had to hide anything behind the screen. Each screen had was a different witch, and each witch has a different familiar. But that had no game mechanic-wise in it. It was all just flavor.
That's right, because each screen had a different picture of a witch, and they each had their own different name.
Correct, and they each had their own familiar. So all of that was just visual and name flavor. They had no mechanical. Like he said, they were everything was homogenized. Everyone had the same movement. Everyone had the same spells. Everyone had
right. There was really no reason to be a different witch.
Correct.
So something to kind of give each witch a little bit of a uniqueness would have been
nice.
Gosh, where was I going with this? I did notice that in the game there was. It wasn't until after the game that we noticed this little slip of paper in there that said, oh, by the way, we goofed up. This spell actually uses these components. And as soon as we found that, we were like, oh, that
changed a lot.
That would have changed a lot with how we do that. And I think, so you were like, the screen really probably doesn't need to be there. I think it kind of does because we've got all these resources we're having to keep track of, and I don't want you to know what resources I have.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
See, and I don't want you to,
and it's like, and I don't want you to know what schemes I have.
Oh, I kept all my resources flipped up. I had to know what I had in order to be able to stop your spell.
Right. Because Ruby would do something, and I'd be like, oh, let me shift these back over here now.
Okay.
Or if you, I was like, oh, Phil's going to do this. I need to be able to do this so I can try to counter whatever he's doing.
Okay.
You know, so I see the purpose of it.
Okay.
Of the screen.
I guess it's just because I kept all my cards face down. Or
you're used to too many other games keeping your cards face down.
I kept the resources in my hand for the most part, so it wasn't. Yeah.
I would have liked the resource cards to be a little bit bigger, although they didn't have much more to put on them.
Right.
But they were kind of hard. I'm kind of clumsy anyway.
Okay. So yes, the resource cards were the smaller sized cards versus the...
Yeah, they could have been the regular sized cards. Yeah, I agree.
Anything else other? Overall, I thought it was a fun game.
Oh, yeah.
I'd definitely play it again.
But you definitely want to leave yourself a little bit more than the 90-minute time.
Yeah.
So that's one big thing to take away from this.
Right.
And it is something also interesting. A lot of games, and this one in particular, as I said, it does a 1-6-player game. So you could sit here and play it alone.
Right. There are rules for playing it solo. Which
right.
We did not
check it out. But if you're interested in that, you know. Some people like to play alone.
That's true.
Just be careful, because if you lose, then it really says something about you.
All right. So, again, that's The Village Crone, the Fireside Games. And, hey, where could they check this game out if they really wanted to?
Well, I'm pretty sure we got it in the Scarab Library this year.
Okay.
So, and if you wanted to check it out from the Scarab Library, you can probably do that at Scarab 2017.
So, that wasn't quite scary enough for you, was it? No, you're not quite quaking in your shoes like you thought you would be, are you? You want something else? Oh, I need something better to scare me. Your little game reviews aren't quite doing it for me. Fine, try this on for size. If you don't think that's scary. Ooh, what about a scary parody song about gaming? Yeah, didn't see that coming, did ya?
I was walking in the cave late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For some gamers from their chairs began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
they did the mash.
They did the gamer mash.
The gamer mash.
It was a GameStar smash.
They did the mash.
They smelled like they took baths.
They did the mash.
They did the gamer mash. From the friendly local gaming store, FLGs, to the kitchen table where the humans feast. The gamers all came from their humble basements to level up quickly and fight some trillions.
They did the mash.
They did the gamer mash.
The gamer mash.
It was a GameStar smash.
They did the mash.
They look like they took baths.
They did the mash.
They did the gamer mash. The players were having fun.
Yeah.
The GM had just begun. The snacks included meatballs, some deli trays, and some gum. The dice were rolling. Oliver digging the games. Occasional breaks thanks to some internet memes. The CCG players were about to arrive with their vocal group, the MTG5.
The Mash.
It was the Gamer Mash.
The Gamer Mash.
We did kind of smash the gaming store
pretty good. The Mash.
I'm pretty sure they took
Brownies. The Mash.
They did the Gamer Mash. Up from his screen, the GM's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. He opened the fridge, and he shook his fist and said,
"Which one of you Gragnards drank my Sierra Mist?"
It's not the Mash!
It's not the Gamer Mash!
The Gamer Mash!
Come on, let's go smash up that gaming convention! It won't leave any rush!
It's not the Gamer Mash!
It's not the Gamer Mash! Hey, everything's cool! The GM, he's part of the band! And my Gamer Mash is now the hit of the land! For you listening, this mash was meant to. So when you get to my door, tell them to state your face!
Then you can mash!
Then you can Gamer Mash!
The Gamer Mash!
Into my Game Con Smash!
Then you can mash!
Your dice will make a big crash!
Then you can mash!
Then you too can Gamer Mash! That's like the toast promise. Whoa! Hey buddy, what are you doing here? You got some chains or something? This was on a morning and stuff. Let me tighten up those bolts on your head there for a second. That's pretty good, right? Here, have you tried some of this Gamer Mash? It's me from 100% Gamers! Ah, you're no fun. Hey, someone go plug Frankie back in. I think he's running low on some juice.
Oh, some spooky toe tapping there. In my days, we were lucky if we had toes to tap. And we were thankful for them. Now shut up and listen to me story. It's another one. This is a tale. A tale that's going to make you quiver. A tale that's going to make you cry and weep for your mama. But fine, then. Here, let me pull up this old radio, and we'll listen to a tale of old, because old radios just tune into old stations as soon as you turn them on. I don't have to explain the logic of it to ya. Listen to this old-timey radio parody. A tale of intrigue, a tale of murder, a tale of sandy beaches, a tale from the Scarab.
Tales of the Scarab brings you Mel Rollins, Agent of the Path. Tonight's episode, Dreams in the Deathbed.
Sure has been a long drive down to the beach, I tell you. We should be there soon, and we can get some rest before giving our report to the Scarab Club. How's it going, Ray? You and Kay still doing all right back there?
Sure thing, Mel.
Sure is roomy in this truck. What did you say it was again?
Why, the new Adventure Pathfinder. It gets okay gas mileage, has front and rear headlights, and plenty of space in the back there.
Just like most Pathfinders, I'd say.
Oh, Ray.
Say, is that our hotel coming up there?
Let's see, the DP Lady Inn. Yup, that's the place.
I'm not so sure about this place.
Why? What's wrong with it?
I don't know. It just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Feh. I don't believe in this stuff. Besides, I got my trusty Max Guffin powder.
Oh.
It never lets me down.
And it's good for what ails ya. I used it on my feet once.
All right, enough lap-yapping. Let me go talk to the guy in the front desk and get our keys. Say there, buddy. You got a room for me?
Maybe. You got a reservation?
Sure do. It's under the name Rollins. J-R-K-F-S-E. I'm with Path.
Jerkface?
Yep. Justifiable requisitions of knowledge, facts, and supernatural ephemera.
How's that now?
I collect old stuff.
Isn't that right? Well, this beach here's full of old stuff, I guess. A fella like you should feel right at home.
You got my keys.
Right here, room 101. Say, you have a problem with it, you let me know.
Room 101. I got the keys. Should be right over there.
This place right here?
Oh my, I'm not sure about this one, Ray.
What gives? This caution tape, no windows, and I think the door's already open.
I don't like the looks of this either. Say, did you see that pool over there?
No, why?
Looks like it was drained. You guys wait here. I'll be right back.
Dippy Lady Inn, how can I help you? Oh, it's you again, Jerkface.
Hey, what gives you?
Gives me? What do you mean?
I went to the room, see?
Yeah?
I go to the door, see?
Yeah?
I go to use my key, see?
And a fine key at that.
But the door's already open, see? And what's more, there's no windows and caution tape stretched all around.
Well, sir, it's been discounted quite steeply.
Looks like a crime was committed in there.
As indeed it was, sir.
How's that?
Oh, the police won't let us give details out. Let's just say it was a crime of passion.
Well, I want a different room now, or you'll be hearing from my people.
Oh, we wouldn't want that, sir. Here, let me take those keys and see what I have for you. Oh, 314. Why, it was just cleaned up this morning.
It's got windows and a door?
Only the best, sir.
I'll be back if there's any other funny business.
Nothing funny here, sir. Here at the Dippy Lady Inn, we take everything serious.
All right, then. I'm gonna go upstairs and crash for the night. Hard, like a solid rock.
Of course, sir. Good night.
Say, before I forget, what's up with the pool?
The pool, sir?
Yeah, it's drier than most counties around here on Sunday morning.
Oh, that. Well, the werewolves had a party.
How's that?
Bit of fun, right? Werewolves, ha, indeed.
Yeah, good one. Werewolves.
Indeed.
Funny guy. Well, I'll see you in the morning, then.
Continental breakfast, 6 to 9.
Hey, you got us a new room?
Sure, 314, all the way up.
And did you find out about the pool?
Said there was a party. Probably some beatnik kids. I'm always chasing them off my lawn. Say, this place is all right.
Swanky.
Double swanky, I'd say.
All right, you two, take the bed over there, and I'll take this one. Shouldn't be a problem since you two are married and all.
Say, we have double beds like this at home. This'll be like the time I sleepwalked down to the kitchen, ate that sandwich, and accidentally crawled into your bed.
Oh, you're not in front of Mel. He kids.
Ha! You guys are a hoot. Let's get some shut-eye. We got a big day ahead of us tomorrow. A lot of folks need to hear our report from the Scarab Club.
All right, well, good night.
Oh, Ray. You.
Yeah, yeah,
night,
good night.
Good night, everyone.
That night I had the strangest, most vivid dreams, nightmares to even think about. I was in a strange obsidian room hearing chanting in strange tongues. I couldn't make out quite what they were saying. I searched the room until I found a loose bit of stone. I pushed it, and the room opened up. Ahead of me, I could see a torch or a lamplight flickering down a strange cyclopean hallway and stairs that seemed to descend into the darkest depths imaginable. Or perhaps unimaginable. It's hard to say, really. I followed it down deeper and deeper as the stairs widened and widened. When I got to the bottom, the horror.
Oh, we got a we in Ivan. Oh, we got a we in Ivan.
Oh, great old ones, we offer you these sacrifices so that you might rise from your slumber beneath the sandy shores of these beaches. Great Cthulhu, Elder Mobagia, the unnameable horror that is Jeffrey, the beast with 1,000 spleens, no nose, apostropheus, great giver of punctuated words, Ralpatha, the lead-based, and ancient Dippy Lady herself. Oh, yes. Our praise and all that.
And then I saw the thing. Great tendrils reaching from the darkness, grasping at three very familiar-looking bodies. It dragged the bodies into the darkness, into a gaping maw. No! A maw made up of an infinitesimal maws chomping and spewing all color of viscera. The maws opened and closed inward and outward and in all directions unknown to mankind. The spewing was noisome and indescribable. I had to get out of there. I ran and I climbed as fast as I could, passing out once or twice as the sheer thought of that horror invaded my dream body's mind again and again. The stones of the stairs themselves began to bleed forth all over my face, my bodies, my shoes. For the love of God, why was I wearing shoes?
Hey, Mel, wake up, buddy!
Shoes, indescribable! Ray, is that you? Are we still here at the hotel?
Yeah, it's morning. You were screaming and murmuring at the same time, which is weird. Quit shaking me, man!
Sorry, I just...
Are you all right?
Kay, is it you? Oh, thank heavens.
Why are you shaking me now?
Sorry, I'll stop.
Say, that must have been some dream.
Sure was. Sure was.
Looks like you got a bit of a nosebleed there, buddy.
Huh? Say, that's...
What?
That's not my blood.
What?
Whoa, buddy, get up. Come on, let's flip this mattress over. See what's on the other side.
It's covered in blood.
Just as I thought.
How's that?
This mattress is a murder mattress. Well, somebody was murdered right here, see? And the hotel staff, they must have flipped this mattress over rather than cleaned it off, see?
Yeah.
With the dreams I had last night, I can only conclude logically that the man killed in this bed was done as part of a sacrifice to summon up an elder god sleeping beneath this very sandy beach that we're standing on.
Oh, my.
Strangely, it was the best sleep I've had in a long time.
So what you're saying about this mattress here is that two folks were murdered on it, hmm?
How do you figure that, Ray? There's clearly only enough blood here for one body.
That may be, but we all know that your wife is gonna kill you when you bring this mattress home.
Oh, Ray!
When you bring home stuff covered in blood.
You've been listening to Tales of the Scarab. Tune in next week when trendy Miss McGee uncovers the most peculiar mystery in The Meat Man.
His shoes are made of hot dogs.
Tonight's adventure was brought to you by the ample ride of the new Adventure Pathfinder. Rides like a railroad car, but on the road. And MacGuffin's powder. Use it for what you need.
So, since we're still here on this campfire, I think it's time we brought you the scariest thing of all. See, we're going to bring to the end of this show, see, and we're going to bring you a song. A song that's kind of scary, by our friend MC Lars. Yes, you might have heard of him. You could check him out at mclars.com. He's currently on tour with Megaran and MC Chris. What's scarier than that? I don't know. But you should check them all out. Go to that internet thing. Why are you still sitting there, roasting marshmallows and s'mores upon this imaginary fire? It's never gonna melt that way! Trust me, I know these things. I'm old! Get off my lawn!
That's it. That's the end of this episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. If you liked this, or even if you didn't, feel free to send us an email at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's S-C-A-R-L-B. Lots of little dashes in there. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. If you want us to read any of your comments on the show, let us know. Hey, subscribe to our show. Check out the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Or you can grab that RSS feed from our website. You can get our website off of Facebook or off of Scarab's website. Ah, it's all a bunch of internet flibbity-jibbity. So, until next time, when you think of Scarab's Wormcast, think of this podcast. And when you think of Toast, think of me!
Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by MC Lars at mclars.com and Midnight Syndicate at midnightsyndicate.com.
Boom, it's the sound of the heart bringing doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All day, every night, like boom, 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 boom. It's the sound of the heart bringing doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All day, every night, like boom, 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 boom.
Call me a good man. Even passionate, I'd probably give him a last if you ask for it. I'm a twilight, so I need assistance. I hired a caretaker a week after Christmas. He's very good at what he does. Texas banana pancakes, which I love. And treats me awesomely, but one thing that kind of bothers me, he never looks in my eye when he talks to me. My only sin is I look a little different. Can't understand why he's tripping over my appearance. Gotta be more than that, passing judgment like some kind of quarterback. But I'm older than I need some kind of peace. I mean, he either watches me when I'm trying to sleep, but it does the job well, and that's enough for me. I just want to live my last days comfortably, man.
Boom, it's the sound of the heartbreaking doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All day, every night, like boom, 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 boom. The sound of the heart bringing doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All day, every night, like boom, 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 boom.
It's time for the bloodbath, yes, I'm sure. Pray to your Lord. I've been hunted by the mess back in 04. Time to get my vengeance.
I wait by the door. Hiding in the shadows, got evil plot in store.
I'm sure he be catching Z's cause he snores.
Wanna cut his eye out, throw it on the floor. Did the crime seem so clean? Well, of course. Too bad I'm a victim of the Poe folklore.
Hubris, it's a problem, seen it before.
Humble heard me coming, knew that he was done for.
Who's there? He screamed, I attack with the force.
Suffocated him till he could breathe no more.
By four, he was dead and the soul transformed.
Put him in the chamber underneath the floorboards.
Nevermore, as a corpse, would he bother me or
could he come back somehow from the morgue?
Boom, it's the sound of the heartbreaking doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All dig every night like boom, 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 boom. The sound of the heartbreaking doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All dig every night like boom, boom, boom.
More pain, frame deceased, but my spirit remains. He thinks I'll never creep him out again, huh? The scary part's just beginning. He invites the cops in, this guy's so cocky. He sits down right next to where we hit the body. Just then something goes over my spirit, my heart starts beating. But only can hear it, start softly, the volume increases. Soon it's deafening, piercing like a weapon in. Realizes it's coming from the floorboards. Confess the crime, he can't take it anymore. The cops stick me up, open a chef case. Now he's in the pen, pressing up plates. If I told you how, you'd only be amazed. Bench my own death from beyond the grave.
Screw you both, man, what a horrible trick. You really make me sick, cause they caught me quick. Locked up in a cell and I'm here for life. A man named Bubba trying to make me his wife. But they thought I was finished, they were sure it was done. So I'm planning my escape, soon I'll be on the run. Gonna find your body when I finally get home. Rip the beating heart out just like Indiana Jones. Put it in the blender, grind it up for a minute. Drink it down quick, it'll taste delicious. Oh wait, that's a bad idea. Then you'll always be up in my kitchen like IKEA. I punked you when you punked me back. So let it go, and leave it at that. Because we're just two wild and crazy guys. Playing pranks on each other and ruining our lives.
Boom, it's the sound of the heartbreaking doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All dig every night like boom, boom. The sound of the heartbreaking doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All dig every night like boom, 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 boom. It's the sound of the heartbreaking doom. And the floorboards up in the room. All dig every night like boom, 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 boom. The sound of the heartbreaking doom. And the floorboards up in the